This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Ben McDougal. It's really great to meet you.
Hey, great to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to talking with you about your soundtrack for Godfall. It's just, it's incredible. The game is a PS5 launch title, which is just so fun. It's created by Counterplay Games and distributed by Gearbox. And so congratulations. It must be exciting to finally have it out there.
Oh, it's been, you know, on the cards for so long. I'm thrilled that it's finally out and people can hear what's been going on in my head for the last, I don't know, year, 2 years, 3 years in some cases. It's been a while.
Wow. Yeah, I bet. The story is, it's great. It's a lot of fun. You play as Orin. He's the last of the Valorian knights, and he's been betrayed by his brother, Makros, and so he's out to get revenge and settle the score. And it must have been so exciting to be brought in for a brand new IP, just like unexplored wilderness with the story of this game and the concepts.
Oh, very much so. And I think in the world where it's all sequels, it's not all sequels, but you know, there's a lot of established franchises and a lot of sounds and people know themes. The idea that you can then find this whole new unexplored world, I described it to someone recently as I feel a bit like my dog must feel when we go to like a new place or they finish like a new dog park and it's just untouched. And you can sort of, you can make it your own and you can kind of define how things sound, how things feel, really, because that's what the music does. It emotes. Or at least that's what we're hoping it does.
Oh, it does. It totally does.
So yeah, it was awesome to have that opportunity to make something and sort of build on something in like a really collaborative environment, albeit now socially distanced.
Well, sure. But I would love to know what those early conversations were like with the developers at Counterplay. I mean, how did they reel you in first? What was the really enticing thing about doing the music for this game?
Well, I've been working with Counterplay for years now. I forget how many. I did the music for their first game called Duelist a few years back. A very different style of game. And so we've established this way of talking about music in that time. And it's highly descriptive, it's adjective driven, it's not really musical. We're not talking about you know quarter notes or any of that stuff. It's about colors, it's about light, it's basically, we're talking about emotion, and then it that gives me something to kind of to build on. And the early conversations about Godfall and all its code names, it was all about the world that they were creating and the lore behind it. It's one of those words I find hard to say as a Brit. The lore behind it. there's such depth to what you can do. And like, so if you can picture for a second like a crumbling tower that's just like going up into the clouds, the music that accompanies that is very different depending on whether it's like a mysterious tower that no one knows anything about, or whether it's the location of like a great tragedy, like aeons ago. So I think it's key to get to the bottom of some of those questions. So you know why you're fighting somewhere, or if you don't know why you're fighting, it's important to know that too. Because how you experience the game and the feelings that we're trying to give, the music's a key part of that.
Well, and the landscape that they created, this whole world of Aperion, is an incredible place to be. First of all, it's absolutely gorgeous, but it's also really deadly. So,
oh, very much so.
So how did you kind of express that sort of duality in the music?
I kept them separate for the most part. And you're absolutely right. The world is stunning. It's the thing that kind of stuck with me since I saw the first frame of concept art. It's just beautiful. And I was really thrilled that in the execution, you know, like with concept cars, the car sometimes looks great in the drawing, and then in reality it's like, eh. This was so much more than the drawings. It came to life, and I think the lighting and sort of what the PS5 can do with ray tracing and those kind of technical aspects, it really shines and it really helps bring it to life. But the duality of beautiful but deadly, those inevitably cross over, you know, thematically speaking. But I thought it was important that we made the distinction that it's not the world that kills you, but the creatures in it.
Oh, sure.
Pretty much. So, and in the water realm, talking of themes, there's this brooding, dark theme. It's in low strings. And it was originally just intended to be like a location-based track, but I realized that it would actually make a pretty great motif for one of the bosses there. So it turned into a theme for one of the boss fights, and it sort of lives in both. But the way that the combat music is structured also helps kind of keep things separate, because the engine sort of knows when you're in combat and it knows how you're in combat, like kind of length of combat, and there's a bunch of wizardry in the background that kind of keeps it separate. But through the music itself, we're sticking with the same sort of palette, just with sometimes different instrumentation and different energy level.
Well, how did you decide on the palette? Because it's got a really interesting orchestral sound, but it's more of a hybrid sound. And as I've been listening track by track to, well, the music in the game, but then also on the soundtrack, there are all these extra synth sounds that are kind of layered in there. And so how much experimentation did you do to finally kind of get that sound?
Oh, a lot of experimentation. It's amazing how much ends up on the cutting room floor, so to speak. But and yeah, whether it's a sound, whether it's a theme, you're always just trying to outdo yourself. Specifically on synths, there's a water synth. I forget what I ended up calling it, but it's a very watery, bubbly sound. And I've been trying all sorts of things for a whole morning, and you know, twiddled some knobs, and all of a sudden there was something I could work with, and it just emoted water. It felt wet, but it didn't have any pre-existing connotations. I feel like when talking about the water realm, people think sharks and pirates, and those things have kind of distinct sounds in people's minds. And this was something that I hadn't heard before, but checked the box perfectly. So that was a super cool moment.
One of the tracks on the soundtrack, it's known as Leviathan's Rest, for that watery realm, I think that sound is in there because I heard these like diver's bubbles, the kind of sound that they would make. And there's almost like a lonesome sort of whale call in there too. And I don't know if it's just, you know, knowing that it's a watery piece, but but that combination of sounds is really amazing.
Well, thank you. I think the wailing sound that you're talking about is... it's actually flute that was treated and twisted, and I like to punish my waveforms, I think, is a better way of putting it. They never come out as they go in, and that's a great example of it, because that's just a straight up orchestral flute that has had a bit of a bad time of it, and it came out really nicely in the context of the water realm, because it has that sort of calling sound, you know, something like across the water perhaps. And Leviathan's Rest, actually, it's one of my favorite tracks as well. It hits all the notes.
Thank you. what is it about that track that makes it a favorite of yours?
Honestly, I think you pretty much nailed it. It checks all the watery boxes. And when we're building the soundtrack, it's coming from a lot of shorter cues that have kind of dynamic elements. So turning them into these linear formats is sometimes quite challenging. And this one specifically, I just feel it did well, and I'm kind of proud of what's in there. So it's a kind of a bit of both.
Yeah, it's got to be a challenge putting together a soundtrack once you've got all the music in all the tiny stems that the game engine needs to plug it in no matter what the player is doing, but then to go back and kind of recombine them to make pieces that make sense musically must be just a really challenging process too.
Yeah, the curation process is really hard. I forget the exact number, but there's something like 2.5 hours of music in the game, last I counted. And in the soundtrack, even though it's long, there's only 1.5 hours, give or take. So a lot didn't end up in there. So it's a question of kind of choosing what goes in and then why it goes in. And then we had a lot of conversations about the shape of the soundtrack, which I don't want to go into because spoilers.
Yeah, exactly.
But suffice to say, it's deliberate.
Well, backing up a little bit, what besides that watery sound that you got for the watery realm, there are also areas where you go that are earth and air. And so what were some of the things that you were thinking about to kind of give those areas in the game their own musical signature?
So there are various different biomes, each that has its own sonic signature that comes through both the thematic use and through instrumentation and weird and wonderful sounds, I guess musical sound design, I call it. Earth is predominantly kind of, it has a richness to it, like a gritty, is loaminess a word?
Yeah, I can just picture myself like digging into some really good dirt in the garden.
Right, there you go. And that sound with kind of the rich orchestration that went with it was balanced with some brighter elements as well. I mean, because the Earth realm is colourful, it's full of light. It plays through the leaves, which are kind of floating around in front of you. There's motes of dust and embers that glow over. There's a lot of light in the level design. And that I felt, even though, it's a looter slasher, is what it's been called. And so it'd be easy to just kind of fall into like dark, epic music. But I felt it was important that we make note of those things. Maybe not consciously in the player experience, but it's all part of, building that experience. So there are lighter elements that go in there over that rich sort of leafy bed, so to speak. There's harps appear, there's chirpy flutes, there's plucked instruments, there's bells, some of which are real, some of which are synths, actually. And throughout the score, honestly, there's just crazy stuff that is definitely not orchestral. Some of the synths were programmed inside of synths, twiddling knobs and sliders. And other synths are what began life as organic sound sources. So sometimes it'll be like a recording of a flute or a human voice. Or at one point in Land of the Valorians, there's this huge pad that just underpins the whole track. And there's a beautiful cello line that goes over the top, but there's this weighty thing. And that was a full orchestral recording that was then broken up and chopped and shaped and stuff into this pad. So and we included orchestra on top of that. So you have an orchestral sourced synth pad and full orchestra. It sounds pretty great. It sounds pretty big, should I say. It's up to you whether it sounds great.
It does. We'll be right back.
there's stuff like that all the way through. There's areas where there's actually ukulele that's been, you know, distorted and processed, and it's not something you'd ever think would maybe go into the world of Aperion, but it fits quite nicely. And the other realm that I'd like to touch on specifically is the air realm, because my initial thought with that was, ooh, air, wind, flutes. And, you know, I trained as a flute player back in the day, and so it comes naturally. That was the knee-jerk reaction, but that's not where we ended up at all. It's predominantly a tuned tongue drum.
Is
one of the main sounds of the era. It's so cool. It's just over there in the studio. I want to kind of grab it.
Oh yeah, playing it, please.
For you.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Oh wow! It looks like just a kind of a squished pillow almost. It's metal. And
yeah,
it's
or like a giant ibuprofen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool looking. So what does it sound like when it's not like being all processed and stuff?
So the air realm actually has a lot of it in its sort of its more naked form. It's so ethereal just as it is. And then there are kind of processed layers, there are synths made out of it, but it's...
Wow.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And so the resonance is insane, you're right.
Yeah. It just goes on and on and on. It's really, really cool.
And on. So yeah, this thing was awesome. It was really an unexpected choice. I was just, you know, researching stuff and came across these things and was kind of fascinated. I think maybe it was actually an Instagram advert. Yeah, and I was like, what is this? I don't know. So then I started looking into it, and you know, lo and behold.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, it sounds like you had enough time to do all of this experimenting and kind of try stuff out during the whole process of the game being developed. And it's just so interesting how, you know, your idea of what the sound was going to be completely, like, it's more than a 180 even. Because this, like, wasn't even on the map, so.
Sure. I mean, it was more of a mindset change because there wasn't anything on the page yet. I mean, I don't think, written a note of the flutey option. Before this happened, and it worked out well.
Well, so how did you get started? I mean, did you start with a a piece that was going to be eventually the main theme, or did you just kind of noodle around on the computer and get some musical ideas, you know, little motifs and stuff?
So the, yeah, the first piece that I wrote for this was actually the, that Land of the Valorians track. That was sort of the initial emotional response, I guess, to everything that we've been talking about. And it was the sort of the DNA that sort of lived inside the project as it grew in those kind of very early stages. I'm not even sure if there was much beyond the initial level that they'd made at that point. It was super early days. But then the first thing that came beyond that was Aperion's Champion, the sort of now the main Godfall theme. And the Valorian track turned into more of a theme for the world rather than a theme for the game itself. And it appears as a result in various fragments and inversions and all sorts throughout the score, as well as, of course, the main Godfall theme. Touch on how these things come to be, it's a mystery. Even the further down the line, you'd think that once you've written the track you could answer the question, but really I just look back at some of these things and I have no idea how I got there.
Well, composing to me just seems like magic. I mean, it's just, you know, I can write stuff and I can kind of paint and draw, but, and I was trained as a pianist, but to actually compose and get, to get music that's in your head on paper is just, I don't know, it's just this like miraculous thing to me. So I can totally understand if you just don't know where it comes from, it just does.
It just happens. And, you know, there's that old composer trope of, you know, writing tunes on napkins and stuff. I think nowadays the more modern version is singing poorly into this thing.
Yep.
My iPhone, by the way. And then trying to or notate out afterwards what it was that you came up with whilst walking the dog or hiking or cooking or whatever. And, yeah, I mean, the inspiration comes from who knows where. But it is something slightly odd, I guess, about taking the intangible and making it tangible, which is exactly what we're doing by just writing down tunes for our head onto paper or onto the computer. But then how that becomes a fully fleshed out orchestral track, I think it's iteration. It's the closest approximation of an answer I can give you. It's just iteration. Sometimes it's top down, sometimes it's bottom up. And then every time you go back through it, you add something else. And if it works, it stays. If it doesn't, it goes.
Well, what makes a good theme, in your opinion? You know, something that you can like really work with and play around with.
I think fundamentally, and of course, with the caveat that there are exceptions to every rule, but I think a good melody should be singable. At some level, it should be singable. It doesn't matter how good a singer you are, but it really helps if it's even physically possible. And I think it should also speak to you somehow. you know, emotionally. Like, it should make you feel something. And ideally, it should make you feel what the rest of the project, whether it's a film or a game, it should make you feel that feeling. But if it makes you feel something, then it's going a long way. And I think that's the reason why great themes of cinema get held, you know, up high, is because you are going as a viewer on these massive journeys. And the music that goes with it and helps sell that and is part of that, it becomes personal.
And with games, it's even more personal because you are doing it. You're the hero. And you're
right, you are the character.
Yeah. so for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's... But the theme that you created is just phenomenal. And I love how you gave it a completely different character with the Song of Apeirion. And I'd love to talk with you about the two soloists that you lined up.
Sure.
The soprano, Lawrence Cervais, and that cellist, Ashok Kluta. They are just incredible. Have you worked with them before?
I've known Laurence for years. We actually went to college together for a little bit, and it was wonderful that we had the chance to work together on this. And Ashok, actually, I met on this project. And, oh my God, they are just incredible. Some of these themes, like the Land of the Valorians, I keep coming back to that one. That had been on a MIDI cello, like a synth. Synthesized cello for the longest time, and it was well programmed. It didn't sound awful by any means, but at a certain point you just get used to it. And I think from the point that the melody just ingrains itself, that's just the version that you hear, and it's a nice tune. But oh my God, when it came back and I heard it over the headphones with the live player, wow. It's mind-blowing. I'd forgotten what I'd originally imagined, honestly.
Well, the sound of his cello, it's like it comes out of the ground. I mean, you mentioned that loamy sound, and I don't know anything about his cello, but it sounds human. It's just so cool.
Yeah, he's annoyingly talented. No, Ashok, he's a really cool dude, and... You're right, it sounds really nice. Actually, and it's recorded with a few different microphone choices, each with a kind of a different sound. So in different cues, there's a different mix of signal path as well. So when it needs to be earthier and grittier, it can be. Or if it needs to be kind of more piercing, because there's a lot of other stuff going on, you wouldn't want it to get in the way and start messing everything else up, or have everything else mess it up. So there's some technical aspects to that too, but fundamentally, his sound is just... astonishing.
Yeah,
I think the two of them just made such an incredible impact with their performances.
Thank you.
I thought it was important, though, to have... It's such a big world. I don't even know where to start this. It's such a huge world with so many different areas, so many different themes, and so many different iterations of all of those things, but, you know, depending on what you as a player is doing. So it was sort of important to have some threads that went right the way through the soundtrack. Like, no matter where you were, it was still clearly the same sound world. And a lot of that's subtlety and trial and error, I guess. And it really helped, I think, to have little fragments and bits and grains, I guess, of these themes and these sort of familiar sounds going right the way through. And so they really helped with that.
Well, not only that, they kind of bring it back down to a... I mean, this is an epic quest, and obviously Orin is spectacularly, you know, as you build up his skill tree, he's got a lot of armor and defenses and stuff, and yet he's right. just one person. And so to have those two instrumentalists is really neat, because it just reminds you that this is like one person's story, even though he's
right.
battling these behemoths.
Yeah, he's just one guy with family problems.
Yeah,
so
pretty much. Well, you mentioned about working on the boss battles, the music for the boss battles, and there are, as you said, there are a lot of bosses. And so how do you approach boss battle music? Because everybody comes at it from a different angle. Everybody wants the music to have a different role. And so I'm kind of curious about how you get through that.
Right. I think one of the, you know, the big descriptive words you could put on Godfall is epic. And I think early on there was a review or a comment. Someone said, it's like the developers were asked, how epic do you want it to be? And they said, yes.
11, maybe?
And, yeah, and it's not wrong. It's a epic world with an epic story. It's an epic quest with even more epic characters. I mean, when you see some of these... monsters, they are, I mean, physically massive compared to you. There's a big old size mismatch there. And I wanted that to be the sort of the takeaway with the music. So the music instantly starts, it's like a wall that you can't, it's insurmountable. And I think it's important that when you go into a fight and this dude shows up, that you feel like you've got a real problem. Because you do. I mean, that's just basic service to the game, really. And of course, there's a number of different ways to do it, but I think it worked really nicely compared to the softer sort of world exploring music, because you have the sort of the step up in energy level. And there are mid bosses and kind of end bosses. There are different kind of levels of encounter, but in each case, you need to know that something's changed. And that was really the approach. I forget who it was. Someone told me a while back that without the quiet moments, the loud moments aren't loud, and
right,
vice versa.
Yeah,
without the loud moments, the quiet moments aren't. Like, if it's all the same level, it could be any level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important in a game like this, because one informs the other.
I'd love to talk with you about some of the other unusual sounds that you got. I read somewhere that you had this kind of homemade instrument that you called a swamp koto.
yes.
How did you put that thing together?
Well, it started out life. It started out like bits from Home Depot. It's a plank and bits of hardware, and then I added strings and electronics to it, pickups and such. So it started life just as stuff in a plastic bag, and after doing some math, figuring out kind of where the pitches were supposed to lie, kind of how I wanted to be able to play it, and though I guess all those things, it was just a custom design, and it turned out great. Like even the bone nut at the top was literally it's a blank piece of bone that I had to hand file, and it smelt really weird, but it ended up sounding cool. I mean, it goes out through the score. It's plucked. It's hit sort of like a zither or a dulcimer. Sometimes it goes to amplifiers, and it sort of plays the role of electric guitars. Like when you hear like chugging electric guitars, sometimes it is guitars, and sometimes it's the swamp koto. And other times it might appear like higher over something as like a soaring synthy sound somehow. But again, it's called an ebow. So instead of like a real string bow, it works electromagnetically. So you hold it over the string and it makes the string move, but without any other interference. And so that technique was pretty useful at times.
Is this something you do for every game score? Is like building an instrument?
Yeah, I mean, I love putting unique touches on everything. I mean, I can't say that I've built instruments for every single piece that I've written, but it worked out great here. I've actually started building stuff for the next project, which is also going to be cool. And if it's not a real can hold it instrument, then it's a digital instrument where it's the synths I was talking about earlier, where you're actually making those sound sources. It's not just like picking something off the floor and then feeding that into the computer, but actually sort of massaging the sound that goes in before you start tweaking it actually in the box, and then just recording things, weird and wonderful stuff, and processing it into something that you wouldn't know is there.
Yeah, because when I try to like pull it apart and listen really carefully with the soundtrack, it's hard to know what those sounds are, which I guess is a good thing, because you don't want everything to stand out all the time. So
yeah, and I think it's also key, and maybe this is a subconscious thing. I can't look you in the eye and say this was a deliberate choice, but it made sense, and I think looking back, I understand why. Is this therapy?
It could be.
Looking back, it made sense to take things that were sort of tangible, real things and make them not real, make them otherworldly, because they're at once familiar but altered. And that's exactly what a Parian is. I mean, you don't see a single human face in there. Yet still, you still feel like you're dealing with people with stories somehow. And the same with everything in it. It's at once familiar but also foreign.
Yeah, that's fascinating because, you know, even the time that I've spent in the game, I hadn't really picked up on that. So it's very cool that that's in your music, is this whole not human place. And so, yeah, that's really cool.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, nice job.
Thank you, I guess.
Well, what were some of the other things that made this a really fun project to work on?
I think the contrast between the different things, the different areas and the different styles of music were what kept it fresh and kept it interesting. You know, if you're knocking out 3 hours of just constant drums, that would probably get tiring, I think, for anyone. But the idea that, you know, every day was something different really helped kind of keep things interesting. And the fact that I'm allowed to experiment, and you know, the guys at Counterplay have sort of embraced my role as sound hunter, or, you know, I like to experiment and kind of throw things in. You know, if they come back and say, I've never heard this before, or anything like this, what is this? That's good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
What is that sound? It's like, ah, doesn't matter. It sounds great now. Yeah, I mean, they don't need to know that I'm having to file, you know, bone. But if the end result sounds good, then it's worth it. And I think it's a bit of all of that. This was a beautiful world to write music for, and that's inevitably going to put anyone in a good mood, you know, writing quote unquote pretty music. But then when you balance that with all the other emotions, a complete range, I guess, of emotions that you're supposed to feel through something like this, then it's just such a rounded project. It's a delight, and the wells of inspiration that Counterplay were able to offer through art and character design and level design and walkthroughs, it was just this endless source of inspiration. And I mean, it's hard not to be inspired by the landscape. It's stunning.
Wow, that's it, it. I mean, it's stunning to be in. It's a stunning world to be in, even though it's, you know, really deadly. So yeah, being able to spend time in that world every day must have just been amazing.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
So, yeah. Well, Ben, it's been so much fun to meet you and talk with you about this incredible soundtrack. So thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. This has been fun.